Good morning. Glad to have everyone with us. We have a number visiting with us this morning. For whatever reason you're here, we are glad that you've chosen to be here and worship with us this morning. Earlier this week, I come into the office and Yvette says she said that Marilyn Ash called and had a request. And I said, whatever Marilyn wants, the answer is yes. And she said, well, Marilyn wants us to reserve seats for her family for Sunday. And I said, well, we don't normally reserve seats, you know, at church. And she said, well, she's going to have 20. And I said, we'll reserve 20 seats for Marilyn's family. And I think that's wonderful. And so I want to welcome and it's a beautiful thing to come and gather and have this much of your family. Marilyn is, we calculated, try to figure out who is our kind of matriarch, patriarch, and if Marilyn has been a member here longer than anyone I know, I'll put it that way. If there is someone, then she's in rare company. So we haven't had a policy for reserving seats, but if the elders want us to have one, that maybe if you bring 20, we'll reserve seats for you. They'll be in the middle down front where no one wants to sit anyway, but you will have seats together. Our memory verse, let's hit this and then we'll get into the lesson. For the family devotionals, our memory verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 19, if you want to turn there, Revelation 19. In the book of Revelation was written by, of course, John. He's in prison on the Isle of Patmos, and he is writing what he sees. And to the recipients of the book of Revelation, which is a very figurative book, very complicated, difficult to understand, but the recipients would be Christians in that time who would be soon to be persecuted severely. And there would be so much persecution, primarily from the Roman government, but so much persecution to Christians that they would wonder, what is going on with God? Why is God not protecting us? Why is God letting this happen? When will we have vengeance? Or when will people be held accountable for the brutal ways they're treating us? And in the book of Revelation, it starts and it ends communicating something clearly. And so I want us to look at toward the end of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 6. It says, then I heard what seemed to be the voices of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. And the book starts and ends, and in the middle reminds all Christians that God reigns. God is on his throne. That's how the book begins, picturing heaven and God and all the beings there worshiping him. This word, hallelujah, may not be a word that you use, but it is a word that we sing. There are lots of songs that we have that have this word, hallelujah, in it. And it means, it's made up of two words. It means praise God. The ending of it is God, J-A-H, represents God. And so praise God is what hallelujah means. And so we'll look at this topic today, praising God. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. You think of the excitement in a home when there's a newborn baby, a new member of the family. And that's kind of what this is like, but it's the beginning of the church. So the church is in its infancy. And verse 46 says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So they had just become saved, and the church was growing. They were worshiping still as Jews. They still could meet at the temple. God is still active, and that was still part of their culture. And so they welcomed in this new covenant, and the kingdom has started, and God is bringing in more and more, and there's favor with the people. Now, that would not last long, but in that time, they had so much joy. Praising God is one of the things they did. Do you remember, if you're a Christian, do you remember when you became a Christian? What that was like? Do you remember coming up out of being baptized and having and knowing all my sins are gone? All of them. All of them. Do you remember that feeling? That's and what's in you wants to come out and thank God for it. How joyful you were. Praise God. Psalm 115, we'll look at a few psalms today. Psalm 115:1 says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory." We live in a world where people want glory. People want fame. People want to be, applauded. People want to be praised. And that's kind of in our nature to be bragged on. Do you like to be complimented? Do people compliment you sometimes? Sometimes I'll be complimented about something that's really, they're kind of, I don't really deserve all of what they're saying. Guess what? I still like it. Still like it. Sometimes I'll try to correct them. Sometimes it's not appropriate. But I like to be complimented. You like to be complimented. Do you think God likes to be complimented? Does God like it when we compliment Him, when we praise Him, when we worship Him, we thank Him? In Ephesians 5, verse 18, we read about church worship. And to kind of back up and come into this, verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And that's just a quick reference to when people don't feel good, they try to compensate with something. And God says the Spirit, our joy in the Holy Spirit being a part of us is how we can feel joy. Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And in the Old Testament, they would sing and make melody. They would use instruments in worship. And this is one of our scriptures in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, where we know God is saying, make your music with your heart. And that's what we've been doing. We've been singing. And we've been making melody with our heart to God. Singing with our voices, with our minds, and hopefully with our hearts. Psalm 95, verse 1 says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods." Remember, God wanted to be the Israelite nation's king. He's a great king. Our worship should be joyful. It should be joyful. When we worship, if we don't have joy, we're not doing it right. We're not doing it right. We can still lead it. We can still sing, participate. We can still make the songs go. We can start them and finish them, and we can think about it, but if we don't have joy, we're missing something. We're to be making a joyful noise. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart." You ever done something half-hearted? "I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you." That means rejoice, the word exult. "I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Singing is a type of worship, and in our singing, it should be an emotional time. That's what joy is, an emotion. It's an emotion. When we sing with and praise God and thank God with our whole heart, that's emotion. I want to share a story that I don't know if it will. I'm going to do my best for it to make sense, and not. It just may seem a little odd. But when our middle daughter was born, Sydney. When Sydney was born, they quickly rushed her out of the room. And so immediately, Stephanie and I didn't know what's going on, what's happening. And we already knew that in the labor process, you have contractions, and are we getting close? Yeah, we're close. And here comes the doctor. Doctor shows up to do his doctor things and deliver this baby. And then all of a sudden, there were about 10 people in there. And what we found out later was Stephanie's placenta had started detaching, and so the vitals on the baby, amazingly, even that long ago, they can tell the vitals of the baby before the baby's born. And they knew those dropped, and so the baby had to come out quick. And we had an older doctor that still used forceps. In fact, when Sydney, her first picture, there's a line straight down one of her eyes, a mark from the forceps. It quickly went away, but she had that those first few days. They delivered her quickly, and when they delivered her, she wasn't breathing. We didn't know that. They took her away. We found out later that she didn't breathe for 4 minutes. Her first Apgar score, which is a score based on how the infant is doing, are they breathing, how's their color, how's their heart rate, reflexes, some of those things. Anyway, the best score is a 10. Everything's right. That's a 10. And hers was a 1. And so very quickly they got everything operating properly with her, okay? Breathing on her own, color's good, score comes up, everything's good, and they bring her back, and we're able to see her, and everything goes on. But in my mind, was there brain damage? And so we took her home, and when we took her to her first doctor's appointment, I remember thinking and wondering about, was there brain damage? And I still vividly remember her being weighed, and the nurse, the doctor's nurse, is helping us to weigh her. And the nurse knew what had happened in her birth. And she knew all about that. She had information we didn't have. And even though she wasn't the doctor, here's what happened that was important to me. I asked her, I said, we're concerned about this. And she said, that's not, you don't have to worry about that. She said, this baby right here, she's going to be valedictorian. And I still remember the feeling of comfort from someone who should know a lot more than we do. Is this baby going to be okay? And she wasn't far off. Sydney graduated, I think, 6th in her class here in Sand Springs. And through the years, I've always remembered that. And I've always wanted to thank that nurse. Here's the point of my story. I don't know who the nurse was. And I don't know that there's any way to find out, really. But I promise you, if I could thank her, it would be emotional for me. Because she gave me something I desperately needed. Does that make sense? When we worship God, how can we worship God and it not be emotional for us? And I think the only way is if our heart is disengaged. If we're just singing because this is what we do. If I'm reading the words because that's how you sing. Otherwise, you'll say that you'll stand out. You'll sing when you're not supposed to. I mean, this is what we do. But if my heart is disengaged, then I'm not praising God with all my heart. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Incidentally, "bless the Lord." We'll read that some in Scripture. And it's kind of a weird thing for me. because I thought God does the blessing. I thought God has all blessing. We know that. It comes from Him. How could I speak blessing on God? And it really is saying praise the Lord. Is a way that it would make more sense to us in the way we use that word bless. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives your iniquity. Has God forgiven you? And heals all your diseases. You ever been sick and prayed for God to help you to be well? Redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's a great psalm that's saying, you know, when I praise God because of how good He is and all He's done for me, may everything in me praise Him. Everything inside, I want to thank God. Have you ever thanked someone so sincerely and you could not put into words what you really felt, but you felt so strongly gratitude? That's what worship is to be. Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts. And I am helped. My heart exults." And the word exult, Christian Standard translates that celebrates. Holman translates it rejoices. NIV says leaps for joy. My heart leaps for joy. With my song I give thanks to Him. That's what worship should be. And I'm afraid so often when we sing in a setting like this to God, it's so easy for us to do it and our heart is in neutral. It's disengaged. And I struggle with that. For some, I think it's not such a struggle. Worship is, you're very engaged. And it's very common for some of you to shed tears in worship because you're so locked in. And for me, I struggle to keep my mind focused. And if I'm able to do that, then I'm able to give God my heart. Psalm 63, want to speak about and read in this psalm a little bit, and then we'll go to Psalm 145. Psalm 63 says, "Because your steadfast love is..." We'll pause there for a minute. Some of you are old enough to remember being young and playing outside. Maybe you're working outside, and you develop such a thirst. This is before everybody's walking around with water bottles of some sort. Years ago, if you were thirsty and you were outside, what did you do? You went and found the water hose, okay? The water hose. And it didn't have one of these fancy sprayers on the end of it because you knew you had a thumb. And if that wouldn't work, you have another thumb. Anyway, you have a water hose. And if you remember, and I do, and when I would drink out of a water hose, I wouldn't run it like people do a water fountain. I would hold that thing straight up to where the water's falling down on my hand, and it's just bubbling there. And I can drink as much as I possibly want to drink, as fast as I want to drink it. And I remember times. Now, if I'm eating a meal, and we grew up, we drank water, because Mom wouldn't let us have pop when we were young. But anyway, when we were older, if I could have pop at a meal, I'm going to have pop. I mean, who wants water? It's just water. But I remember a few times being so thirsty that water out of that water hose was amazing. Amazing. This verse says, "Your steadfast love is," and I'll give you some hints, "better than life." Better than life. God's love is better than life. "My lips will praise you. I will bless you as long as I live." Incidentally, And Scripture talks about this as well, but we'll get this one next. We'll bless God as long as we live, and then if we're found faithful and we're in heaven, we'll bless him more and more and more. In your name I'll lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. Can we give that an amen? And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. We enjoy this life, and the more we learn about God and love God, the more we understand there's things so much greater. There's things much greater than life. You and I cling to life, but there is something greater, and that's God's love. His steadfast love. God's love for you doesn't change when you fail him. Isn't that something? When you're disgusted with yourself, God still loves you. Let's read verse 6. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you've been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. When I wake up at night, I am trying to go back to sleep. But I also have a feeling of gratitude to God. I just do. I don't fully understand it. I know I'm tired, but I'm resting, and it's a good feeling to sleep at night, to maybe wake up momentarily, and like God is taking care of me in the watches of the night. You may wake up and not be able to sleep, but you can pray, you can meditate on how good God is. Psalm 145, I will extol you, means exalt. I will extol you, my God and King. Bless your name forever and ever. We will, in heaven, we will never stop blessing God. We'll never stop praising God. We praise him here. When we get to heaven, it will be so much greater. It will be better, and we will praise him there, and we'll praise him and praise him and praise him, and we'll never, ever, ever, ever stop. Ever. Every day I'll bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. This psalm is kind of redundant. God is great. I praise him. I praise him, and I praise him some more. We as humans like to look at things. Have you ever noticed that? You ever seen the lights at Rhema? Christmas lights. It's one of the displays in this area. Wow. Anybody like Christmas lights? Let's see those hands. Okay. I thought they're... We like to look at them. We did that as a family the other night on our way home. Just drove through parts of Midtown and looked at people's Christmas lights. It makes us feel good, does it not? Do you like 4th of July fireworks? We like how they look. When we look at them, we feel good. We will take vacations and we'll go to the mountains, we'll go to the ocean, we'll go to the Grand Canyon, we'll go to places just to look. That's how we are. And in heaven, can you imagine what it's going to be like to look upon God's glory? I have a hard time imagining the fullness of that, but I can get enough to know. I think we're going to want to worship him. We won't have our human failings and our weaknesses and the things that hold us back. The Lord is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Has God been patient with you? Has God been merciful to you? Has God given up on you? The answer to that is no. Although we might wonder sometimes, we shouldn't, because as long as you're alive, God is in your favor. And he's trying to draw you to him. And he loves to be merciful. When the penitent sinner comes upon God's throne, in repentance, God loves to forgive. He upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Hebrews 13:15, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. We praise God in the good times. Can we praise God in the bad times? Can we praise God when we're hurting? Can we praise God when we're suffering? Can we praise God when we've experienced loss? Psalm 42:11, this is New American, says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I shall yet praise him. What that psalm is saying is, even though I'm hurting, I still will praise God. Do you remember the story of Job in Job chapter 1 where God is bragging on Job and Satan says it's only because he's only faithful because you give him everything, and God allows Satan to do some things to Job, and in one day Job loses his livestock, his servants, and his children in one day. And do you remember what Job did? He tore his robe, he shaved his head, he fell on the ground, and he worshiped. That's amazing to me. He makes this famous statement, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he didn't understand why, but he knew God had a hand in that, and he was right about that. But Job worshiped God in his darkest suffering. And the truth is, we will have trials and suffering in this life. And loss of a loved one ranks at the top of the hurt that we experience in life. And I was talking to Phyllis Dodson not long ago, and Phyllis was telling me, she said, I've lost parents, I've lost a husband. Nothing was like losing a grandson. And when Phyllis's grandson died, it was tragic. Very tragic. When I spoke to her on the phone, she said, I'm numb. I don't know what to think. All I can pray is praise God. And I said, okay. I didn't know what to think. Praise God. She said, all I can think to pray, that's all I can get out, is praise God. Later, she said, that's the only peace I could dwell on. Was she right? Is God only praiseworthy when things are good? Or in our suffering, is God also still good? Suffering, I remind you, suffering doesn't come from God. Suffering comes from Satan. It comes from sin. It comes from us living in a fallen world where we have disease and where we have death. Satan, sin, fallen world, not God. And in her darkest time, she knew God is what's good. And God is what's going to help me. And God is still worthy of praise. And when she couldn't get anything out, and by the way, she said this is why we need to memorize scripture. Because when her mind would not process, it could at least, it remembered, in all things praise God. That's what she remembered, in all things. So I don't know what to say. She didn't know what to say. She didn't know what to pray. She knew God is still praiseworthy. And she praised him. And I'm very proud of her. I'm inspired by her example. Can we praise God in our darkest and hardest times? Is God still worthy of praise? Absolutely. Nod your head. Do like this. You don't have to talk. Absolutely he is. He's still good. Satan is the reason for suffering. Sin is the reason for suffering. Our fallen world is the reason for suffering. And God is the one that helped her. God is the one that was faithful to her. God is the one that gave her strength. God is the one that blessed her. Have you ever been blessed in your hardships and your suffering? God is still faithful. God is worthy of being praised. And so I remind you, praise God every day. Praise him every day. If you're hurting right now, praise him. He's still good. And he's still working good. Remember our memory verse, Romans 8:28? In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And so if you're hurting, God is working good for you. Praise him for it. He's still praiseworthy. We're going to sing a song. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. And then look at this. Whatever may pass, whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. It's a song that it reminds us, when times are good, I'm going to praise you. And when times are bad, God, may I praise you then too. Because God is still good. If you're here this morning with something we could help you with, we could lift up in prayer for you, a way that we could be of assistance to you. If someone's here and you're not ready to meet God in judgment, you're not in Christ, let us help you do that. Let us help you become a saved Christian this morning, if you'll come while we stand and sing.
But the Lord of my soul,
I worship your holy name. Bless.